The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us live right now, send us an email, instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right to your hosts of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome everyone to the show. Welcome, Matt.
Welcome, Joanne. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, everyone, for once again spending your Monday evening with us here on Down the Garden Path, where we discuss down-to-earth tips and advice for your plants, gardens, and landscapes. And it's definitely gardening and landscaping season, so I'm sure everybody, even despite the cool weather, right?
Very cool weather.
Oh. here in the GTA, people are itching to get out there. And with Matt and I, we are also fellow gardeners and landscape designers, and we think it's important and possible to have great gardens that are low maintenance, which is why here on Down the Garden Path each week, we do our best to help you achieve that. We bring you interesting, relevant, and helpful topics, at least we think so, and wonderful guests to help us learn about a subject or help us with our yards and gardens. And there's certainly no shortage of topics or wonderful experts. And so we had Ernest here recently, and it was such a great show that we're excited to talk about water features and ponds once again with Ernest Williams from Aquascape. And we're very happy that he came back for a part two, because I think it's a timely topic, don't you think, Matt?
Yeah, it's very timely. Yeah, so Ernest is going to join us today. And Ernest has been with Aquascape for, I believe, 17 years plus. He's a provincial rep around the GTA area. And he helps us all with our ponds and pond technology and keeps us all on the right track and provides some wonderful product for our homeowners and contractors.
And all of Ontario, because he's here. He's tuning in from, joining us live from Ottawa.
Live from Ottawa.
Welcome to the show, Ernest.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for letting me on again.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I think it's how's the season started for you? Has it gone well?
It is rolling already. Yeah, no, we're, a lot of product is out there. Folks are chopping at the bit to get it in the ground. Mm-hmm. Some are kind of, especially around here in the Ottawa area, kind of holding their breath while everything else dries up, but it's pretty wet out here right now.
Is it? Did they really get snow?
They sure did. Yes, there was some pictures I was sending the office today of snow on my car and on the trees as I was driving around.
But, oh my goodness! It didn't stay though, right? It's not.
Didn't stay. Nothing sticking on the ground.
Phew.
So,
okay.
I'd protest. Anyway, but yeah, no, it's been a good season. There's a lot of landscapers that are interested in adding water features to what they offer, and a lot of customers, a lot of homeowners that want to, we like to say, get their feet wet, if you will, and put in a water feature, get something out there.
I know at the garden center, I'm ready to place a nice big new Aquascape order. A lot of people are looking for water basins and liner and pumps and all sorts of fun accessories.
All right. You can interrupt this call anytime for that.
Yeah. Thank you. Just what you like to hear, right, Ernest?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's neat. Yeah, the warehouse, I know, is popping and getting stuff out, trying to meet all our demands.
Yeah, exciting. In a way, the weather helps, I think, you know, ease people into it a little. Like, it kind of helps to have a little blip once in a while that kind of just lets us catch our breath a little.
Exactly.
I know, as a designer, I'm still having, like, that pit in my stomach. Like, I'm not quite caught up yet. The phone keeps ringing. So then when we get that little blip, it's like, okay, 2 days of nobody calling because they're cold.
It's not bad. It settles the metal once the snow leaves the ground. So these little breaks are good.
Excellent.
So one of the things we wanted to talk to you today, Ernest, was the pond ecosystems. Ponds are an ecosystem. We talked about that the last time we had a chat. So we were wondering, a lot of people are coming into the garden center. They're looking to open their ponds and get started. But what does that mean and how do we do it? So I was wondering if we could start by talking a little bit more about that aquascape ecosystem. And I know Aquascape has that Aquascape ecosystem pond approach.
It's what really launched us as a company. We like, you know, some of the taglines we use are, you know, working with natural processes or working with Mother Nature, not against her, really just utilizing what is existing in natural processes. So we're trying to use as many beneficial bacteria. You know, bacteria sometimes has a negative connotation, but we're using the beneficial bacteria that negates ammonia and nitrites in natural waterways. You know, fish and decaying matter emits ammonia and nitrites into the water, which are toxic for both of them if they remain. So there are, you know, for you, science behind it, but there's, you know, beneficial bacteria that goes in and breaks that down and leaves over the nitrates that are beneficial for any of the plant material growing in the pond or in the stream. So when we can duplicate that or try to replicate that in a pond, there's definitely less maintenance for the homeowner to enjoy their water feature. So we like to, you know, we encourage folks we like to take a five-part recipe, I guess, to building these ecosystem ponds.
Right.
So you're definitely having good circulation of the entire system, so kind of one end to the other. You know, we like to have the waterfalls, if not, at least having movement of the water from one end to the other so that there's no stagnant areas. And that's accomplished with, you know, obviously the pump, and we like to use skimmers, which, you know, pulls the debris off the surface of the pond and draws all that water. So you get good circulation. Then there's filtration. Obviously, there's what I mentioned, that area of concentrated filtration of bacterial growth. We have it as our, if you look at our, the BioFalls Aquascape biological filter, and it doubles as the start of our waterfall and kind of a gravity fed. It feeds up through it, kind of creating a bog-like atmosphere as it runs through, creates that waterfall and either right into the pond or down a stream and then back into the pond, and kind of skims across to the skimmer. So you get that filtration happening. That's the biological side. And the skimmer obviously works as the mechanical filtration or physical removal of any debris. So whether it's pollen and dust and sticks and leaves, anything that would get into the pond, and if left, it would create a sludgy mess. Sorry, I'm going on and on.
No, that's okay.
No, that's good.
I'm only on step three. So that's, so you have circulation, you got your filtration, and that leaves over really your fish, which are part of that ecosystem. You know, they obviously eat up the, you know, plants, and they're obviously the jewel of the pond as well. A lot of activity seeing them work. But the ammonia they emit from their waste is what's required for that bacteria to grow in order to leave over the nitrates that are beneficial for the plant. So you end up with this cool sort of circle of life happening within the pond the, you know, the fish waste being eaten up by that bacteria, leaving over the nitrates that the plants benefit from. And the fish can utilize, and so anyway,
Because I was wondering about all that winter, like the fact that the fish were there all winter, and all, you know, all that bacteria, I guess, that would be then in the water when you turn it back on, you know, I had no idea. Was it like, you know, a pool, we kind of drain it and then fill it back up and add chemicals to it, you know, but obviously it's not, it's a pond, it's a living organism. So you're not treating it the same as a pool.
No. We'll do a spring clean out usually. And what folks will do is if they, you know, if they've kept their fish in, which I totally recommend, fish go dormant over the winter. They, enjoy the cold water. Typically our ponds don't freeze solid. When you've dug them into the ground, the thermal energy of the earth actually heats up the bottom portion. And so then, just maintaining a hole in the ice with, whether it's, you know, one of our floating de-icers or an aerator, or even just leaving the pump running is possible. You really have to, I don't want to make a general statement because you really have to, you know what you're going to be doing with it. Someone needs to be babysat, so I wouldn't recommend, you know, going away to Florida for a month or so.
But,
definitely, it can be, well, I guess we're only in May. Why am I talking winter? Anyway,
the whole point is, we'll get there.
When spring comes, we're going to typically drain it down, and you can just do a clean out, just to, again, when you think of a natural pond, waterfall, or stream, there is a spring flush. And, you know, the natural system kind of flushes itself out. Water levels go way high, then they start to work their way down. It's just nature's way of cleaning itself up. And that's what we're doing with a pond clean out in the spring. So we typically will drain it down, remove the fish, take the water that they were in all winter, either put it into, you know, we've got specially made bins for it, or it can be a, you know, a kiddie pool or something
like that, some sort of
container,
so
that they're, you know, not being acclimatized to something different. Leave them in the water they're used to. Power wash it, clean it off. Then we're going to, and when I say power wash, just a gentle power wash. You don't really want to blast anything away. Power washers can go crazy. And
for sure.
Put holes in liners.
Yeah, I was just going to say put a hole in the liner.
So, as you say, power wash is just a strong, good jet from your hose. Just is that good enough?
That would work as well. Yeah, you're just dislodging some of that stuff that's just been sitting all winter. And then, then refilling it. And typically we're filling it with either, you know, well water or tap water. And in most of our cities, there's, you know, chlorine and chloramines and other things. So there's we have a detoxifier, which basically gets that water ready for pond life, so plants and fish. So immediately after filling it, I would add this pond detoxifier, and there's, you know, dosage rates on it. But that allows you to then, so a couple things. You drain it down. It's also a great opportunity once it is drained down, because your plants have also been in there all winter in the fall. Maybe for our fall show, we can talk about shutting down the pond. But you're cutting back your plants within, you know, a couple inches of the roots and allowing them to overwinter in the pond. The hardy marginals and hardy lilies, any of the floating plants are treated as annuals, and so they typically won't come back. But any of those ones that it's time to, you know, perhaps separate. You can get in there once you're doing your spring clean out. It's a great opportunity to sort of replant out your pond. So then refilling it, adding the pond detoxifier, the fish can be added back slowly. You want to acclimate them to this new fresh water that you're putting in.
Kind of like an aquarium, that bank floating in the top.
Exactly. Bit of the water into the tub they're in, and then, you know, getting it balanced out and then adding them back into their home. So along with that, the pond detoxifier is beneficial because it actually has some valerian in it that'll actually soothe and calm the fish.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. We take care of our fish.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So now we're,
to get overstressed.
So now we're supplying herbs to the fish.
Herbal treatments.
Herbal treatments, kind of. Any chiropractic? No.
A little bit of massage and they go back in. No. Yeah, no, for sure. It's a fun time. I mean, it is probably the most work you'll do in the pond.
Okay, it's the opening.
Yeah, and so there are landscape companies and pond contractors who will do that, as, you know, that's what they do in April and May, opening ponds, and that might be the only service they do for their customers. But it's definitely one that is it's worth the money, because it's good to to do that. It's, yeah, it's that first flush I was mentioning.
For sure. And you want someone who knows what they're doing, right?
Correct.
You know, so it's one of those things. I think it's worth paying a little extra for someone who's experienced at dealing with all of that.
Right. Yeah.
For sure.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, I mean, as far as the ecosystem goes, you're establishing it. And then there's, so that beneficial bacteria wants to be established as well. The drawback of having our closed system, if you will, like we're not benefiting from swamps and you know, tree roots and all the things that a natural waterway would,
right.
We have to implement those. And so there's, you know, I don't want to go into too much of a product show, but there's water treatments that'll allow you to sort of germinate those bacteria and get them started. We have, you know, pond starter bacteria that gets it going in the spring, and then allows you to go through the season.
Okay. No, and that's good because I just from the garden center side of things, is we get a lot of people coming in, they need to know what you were just saying, but then they just see this array of treatments.
Sure.
And they're thinking, well, what do I need any of this stuff for? So, no, it's good that you kind of touch on, you know, starter bacteria. That's the cold season bacteria. Is that the same thing?
It's not the same thing.
Okay.
Just when you start to, get down to the nitty-gritty of the bacteria, there's heterotrophic bacteria, there's lithotrophic bacteria. And when we're looking for that optimal growth, we really want, early in the season, a lot of that lithotrophic bacteria allow the beneficial bacteria to start to grow. So in our pond starter, it's heavy in the lithotrophic bacteria.
Okay.
Our cold water bacteria is actually really meant for our fall, getting the pond through the winter.
Okay.
So before it's freezing, but after our beneficial bacteria is really thriving, we've harvested bacteria from frigid waters to allow it, so it actually kind of looks ahead to the spring. It makes the pond easier to start once you get going. So it's kind of it's an interesting cycle of an optimal use of treatments. But you kind of want to have your pond starter to help that bacteria get going in season.
Mm-hmm.
So hitting it now with the pond starter, as you know, it's good for these times when, there's snow falling from the sky. But your pond is definitely open, and the sun's been hitting it for a little bit. I know my little feature in my backyard is developing a little bit of algae as it, the sun's hitting it, and I can't put my plants in yet. So as that hits, there's first off, you want to get that bacteria started and going, but you also want to cut back on the amount of sunlight hitting the pond. So some folks will actually tint the water.
Okay.
So one of the other products we have and is available is a pond tint, blue or a natural color. And all it does is diffract some of the, that's not a word, sorry. Anyway, block some of the sunlight coming into the pond just by tinting the water.
So do some people do it black? Am I mistaken?
There's a black, there's a blue, there's a natural, kind of just a brownish tint. It really comes to, kind of down to personal preference. I know some folks really like that blue look as it runs through the pond, and some just wanted to tint it a little bit to cut down on the sunlight.
Right.
Nice.
I thought I'd been told by someone, I was on a garden tour, and they said they tinted it black so that the herons wouldn't see the fish.
Sure. Mm.
That's
definitely something. Yeah. Tinting the water does help with predator control.
Okay.
Obviously, they can't eat what they
can't see.
The only drawback is you can't see your fish either.
That's true. That's a good point there.
Yeah. No, we've seen this actually. I mean, it is predator control is one of the, maybe number two after algae control.
Right.
Or cutting back on, pond debris and other things that are in the pond.
Well, speaking of algae, we do have a question from Paul, and he's asking how does he get rid of excessive green algae in his pond?
In the pond, there are a couple things. We can control it with, so there's many ways of combating it. Sometimes it's the result, like I mentioned, of really sunny days and no aquatic plants really rivaling for the nutrients that are available.
Right.
So there's what we call Rapid Clear. It's a flocculant. It clumps the algae together. It's typically, when it's creating that sort of green pea soupy look in the pond, the issue is that it's so fine that it's passing right through any filters that are there.
Okay.
And so allowing it to clump together allows it to get caught in a filter system.
The what is that called?
Our product is called Rapid Clear.
Okay. We hope that helps you, Paul.
We tried to name our products just what it does. You know, it clears it quickly. Rapid
yes.
Clear.
Yeah. Pretty straightforward. That's good. Well, hopefully that is something that Paul can look into for sure.
Yeah. And then UV lights also help to help control that.
And when it warms up and we're able to put some plants, is that going to help as well?
It definitely will help.
Okay.
Plants obviously create some shade for the pond, and they also, you know, we like to recommend, you know, at least four types of plants in the pond. You have your deep water plants, whether it's lilies or tall grasses, that can create shade, but also utilize the nutrients at the bottom of the pond. Marginal plants, which grow, you know, anywhere from 8 to 12 inches down into the pond. There are oxygenating plants, which get planted right in into the pond, kind of grow below the surface. And then there are floating plants, like water hyacinth or water lettuce.
Okay.
And their root systems, they just float around, and I always like to refer to them as our nutrient vacuums. They almost just suck up those nutrients as they float around the surface of the pond. So they can be controlled either with, you know, kind of create sort of hula hoop type ideas or fishing lines so they don't, you know, clog up the filters and stuff like that. But those are beneficial ways of controlling algae and just using up the nutrients that are, because algae is just a plant and it's growing because there's nutrients available for it to grow.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you starve the algae with sun and food, it can't grow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's more to learn about plants, but we're going to pause for a commercial break. Here on Down the Garden Path, here on Reality Radio 101. And hang on there, Ernest, and we'll be right back.
Are you wondering why your life isn't moving in the direction that you want it to? Do you ever hear yourself saying, "It's like I'm running into walls," or "My money flows out as quickly as it comes in"? Until about 9 years ago, I used to hear myself say those exact words. I could never figure out what was causing these problems or how to fix them. Well, that's until I started to learn about feng shui and how by applying the principles of it to my home or my office, I could in fact help fix those problems and have my life run smoother. Wow. When you book a feng shui consultation with us at Your Spiritual Connection, we will help you to figure out why things aren't working out in your favor, and we will offer simple solutions to help correct the problems, which will in turn help your life to run smoother.
Contact Trish John of Your Spiritual Connection at 905-391-8801. To book your feng shui consultation today. For more information on any of our upcoming events and workshops, please visit our website at www.yourspiritualconnection.ca. Your Spiritual Connection, helping you to make the connections in your life.
Looking for a quick, easy to apply an all-natural fertilizer to use in your vegetable and flower gardens or for your fruit trees? Why not work with Mother Nature? Layer Hand Manure is a terrific fertilizer, and this is what Actisol does by transforming the manure from their egg farms into an efficient fertilizer. The manure is dried using a technology that harnesses the heat given off by the hands. No other heat source is needed. Actisol is easy to use, safe for the environment, children, and pets. You can purchase Actisol products at your local garden center or order in bulk. For more information, visit www.acti-saw.ca. Actisol, the mother hen fertilizer.
The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us live right now, send us an email, instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right back to your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Thank you very much, Gary, and welcome back, everyone, to welcome back to our guest, Ernest Williams with Aquascape. We are back talking about ponds and the little micro, or not micro, little ecosystems that they are as we're starting to open them up and find best practices, right,
yeah,
on how to do that. So we touched a bit about fish and a bit about plants. So I just wanted to go back about fish, Ernest, and Does a pond have to have fish?
No. You know, they don't have to have fish. They are definitely part of that cycle, though.
Mm-hmm.
It almost makes it easier, really, when you do have fish.
Hmm.
But no, there's definitely a lot of folks who have avoided or don't have fish. Sometimes it's because of the predators that are in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of concern around, you know, what we can do with predators. Some of them are just, you know, atrocious, really, and mean. Mean-spirited, it seems like.
Poor raccoons.
Some you can deter. What's that?
We're picking on the raccoons, right?
Yeah. Well, you know what? To be honest, it's actually easier to make a pond raccoon safe than it is some of the other predators.
Oh.
Mink are especially difficult to deal with.
Wouldn't have thought of that.
But raccoons typically don't swim into a pond.
Okay.
So when we're building it, I recommend, you know, have larger boulders. It's hard to picture on the radio again, but boulders on the inside of the pond that go above your ground level. So then your first shelf is within, you know, maybe 8 or 10 inches in. That requires the raccoon to actually go into the pond, and
okay.
We find typically they don't do that. They don't like getting wet.
Well,
they'll
that's good
scoop.
To know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But they don't seem to have that issue. So
okay. And is there an optimal number of fish? You know, so you don't have to have them, but it's better to have them. But is one enough?
Yeah.
Or should you have, or you know, if you have two, then you're going to have a lot.
Yeah, I think the issue is balance, even with plants. So too many fish just throws off the balance of your pond, and it's difficult to maintain. So a nice, comfortable rule of thumb. Again, I know, like, even as I say it, I know there's going to be questions, but I like to take the square footage of the pond, the length, you know, times the width. So for every square foot of pond area, I like to have about an inch of fish.
Wow. You like math, don't you?
I'm like, Ernest. So if I have an 8x10 pond, that's, you know, 80 square feet.
Okay.
I'd like to have 80 inches of fish.
80 inches of fish.
So I like to say, you know, 8 10-inch fish, you know, 3 15-inch fish, or 1 80-inch fish.
So when kids in school go, why do I need to learn that math?
Exactly.
Someday you're going to need to know the math so that you know how many fish can
go
in your
pond.
But
you know what? I have a question. If you think about it, because, you know, we tried the fish in our little pond and I killed them.
Yes.
But
did you kill them or just somebody got them?
No, I killed them, I think. I think some fertilizer from the lawn got in there at one time from a spreader. By accident.
Yeah. Okay.
But hold on. So with Ernest, I'm intrigued by who comes up with the math for that. Because if I was to, I have a smaller pond, Mine's only like, I think it's 5x3, something like that, right? So, so how do I, so you said you just, you take the length and the width.
Yeah, 5x3, that's 15 square feet.
So, and then 1 inch per, so it's 15 inches of fish?
Yeah.
What about one big carp?
I mean, then that'd be too much fish.
So
it's
I can
a little too much fish. Yeah.
Yeah. So up to you're saying so up to 15 inches of fish total, right? You're saying.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the fish will grow. They'll grow to their, you know, their size. Now, how deep is the pond? Just curious.
It's about, I'd say, 2 feet maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. So you imagine, I guess, kind of if you picture as chuckling myself as you ask, you know, how do we come up with these numbers? You know, we ask some of the best fish out there. You know, it's just, it's crowding really. Available resources for the fish, and space for them to live in comfortably.
But fish do grow in their environment, as you say. So let's say at 15, let's say I got, three fish at, 5 inches. They're going to grow bigger though, too, right? Then.
That's right.
So wouldn't that mess up the math then?
Well, then, no.
Then I need a bigger pond.
That math doesn't change. Okay. 15 inches is still what you want.
Yeah.
So one of those three is going to, you know, have to find a new home.
Exactly. Okay. So now you're fish farming.
And one other question. So in this particular area of Southern Ontario, the GTA, what fish do you recommend out of the few species that people get for their pond? What would you recommend in this particular climate?
This climate? Oh, I mean, any... So typically it's goldfish, you know, shabunkins, comets, but koi also do well in and they're basically a carp, but they will grow to their environment. Sometimes it comes down to budget. Fish, you know, that it's almost it's its own little realm.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm learning, we create water gardens and sell the products for these water gardens, kind of a nice blend of you know, the gardening side of the water gardening, fish, the beauty of the, you know, the aesthetics, waterfalls, that kind of thing. So you have this nice blend, but there are, you know, sort of koi specific ponds, along with, you know, plant specific ponds too. So if I'm growing, you know, a high priced, you know, koi, and, you can be very specific, it's not too far off from, you know, almost horse trading really when it comes down to, you know, what they're looking for, what folks are looking for as far as color and the blend and where the markings are and what the markings represent and the shape of the fish, other things like that. If in a 5x3 pond, if I'm kind of creating that water garden, I might just have, you know, one of those perhaps, you know, but then I feel bad because only one fish.
It's kind of lonely.
And if you do take care of your fish properly, what's the lifespan for those type of fish?
They can outlive most humans, actually. Yeah.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
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 They can be pretty long lived. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's very
some
interesting.
Of the koi are, I mean, you go to, you know, places like Japan or, the Orient, you'll see some, you know, 80-year-old, 75-year-old fish.
Wow.
It's good to know that goldfish will do fine, too, though. You know, it's not as, especially if you're just trying it out, right? That's not as much of a commitment. Not that, you know, losing goldfish is better than losing the koi.
No, but it's easier, maybe.
Yeah, I guess.
You don't feel as bad, per se, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Just because of the cost involved, I would assume, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
Thank you.
That's where the range of it is vast as far. It's hard to give an answer on what, you know, what works best.
Yeah.
A lot of folks that are super happy with the goldfish they grow.
Matt, do you sell fish?
We do not at this location, but our bigger locations actually do sell fish,
Okay.
Yeah, a few different varieties.
But Matt, can help you get it if you want to get the pond up and running?
Yeah, I'm thinking about maybe doing fish this year.
Because you didn't do it last year, right?
No, but Ernest gave me so much information about this, right?
Yeah.
And actually, the fish that we had lasted 2 or 3 years, and then 1 year, I think we screwed up.
Yeah.
And they died. I think that's what happened. I'm not 100% sure.
So you had it right, but...
Yeah.
There are a lot of different, like, if sometimes when folks have a small pond like that, you know, they've just maybe bought some pond liner, or they have a small preformed and they have a pump, and, you know, you're not really filtering the water with that. So having a small filter of some sort, it's similar to an aquarium. You know, you wouldn't really just be moving the water. you really do, the fish benefit from it, the plants benefit from it. There are a lot of different ways. We have a little filter urns, which are good for, ponds up to 500 gallons, and just a way you pump the water to it. It kind of creates, looks like a broken vase kind of thing, and it's leaning off and it's tipping into the pond, but it's actually a filter system as well. Yeah. So there's a lot of ways to add filtration to a pond, because everything benefits from it once you've added filtration.
Okay. Great, thank you.
That's great.
Welcome.
I forgot about your pond, Gary. That's great.
Yeah, I haven't cleaned it yet.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, it's still early, right? Yeah. And it's still cold outside. Gary, I'll tell you a secret. I haven't cleaned up my garden yet either. I have neighbors asking me when I'm going to deadhead my hydrangeas.
Really?
I'm like, yeah, when I have a free moment and it's not like freezing or raining out, I'll get out there. I'll get right on it. So, yes, no apologizing necessary. Those of us
you have no problem with them going to do it for you either.
Yeah, that's true. Very good point. Yeah, because I went my lovely keener neighbor. She's out there, yeah, like crazy. So yeah, I should have invited her over to do that
garden party.
That's right.
Clean up, right.
So what do we want to talk about next, Matt?
What do we want? I like that we touched on that very good point, because a lot of people in the garden centers come into pumps aren't filters. There is it's a whole other thing.
Okay.
And they wonder why their things fail.
Sure.
Because they just don't think they need a filter?
Just think the water is moving. I've got maybe a couple, water hyacinth floating around.
Okay, and they think that's enough.
It's pretty, all is well, and then it crashes and goes green, and they're like, what's going on?
Right.
And they lose it.
Similar to, the argument about, sorry to interrupt.
No, yeah, go jump ahead. In there. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, I was thinking with regards to, the number of fish in a pond, sometimes I'll have, folks say, well, it was fine last year or the years before, and all of a sudden everything, my fish started, dying. I had 18 fish in my little 5x3 pond, It can work for a little while, but that's with anything, balance is everything, and eventually it starts to crash and lose. Similar to, sometimes folks will, whether it's because of cost, they'll cut the filtration side of things. They just want to get things moving. And, hey, it worked last year and it was fine. But as things start to establish and they get built up and nothing's really being filtered, nothing's being cleaned properly, eventually you're kind of negating it. It's like anything else. I don't really have to clean my house and, whatever.
Yeah, it eventually catches up to you. So that makes sense. You might be able to buy a year or two, like you said.
Right.
People say, oh, it's been fine for a couple of years and I didn't do anything different. And
right.
And it's just, you were lucky for a couple of years, right? And
exactly,
and your
yeah.
luck's just run
that
out.
Wasn't the rule. Yeah.
That's right. And I would think the growing, so if they've had 18 fish and, when those fish were little, it worked great. But now that those fish are bigger, that is it. Even though they're saying, I still have 18 fish, they're 18 bigger fish.
Right.
That's right.
So it really is a moving, almost more complicated than the garden. Holy cow. Eh? It's a lot of
water garden.
It can be.
Yeah.
So usually I just say, hey, build a bigger pond. There you go.
There you go, Gary. There we go.
Right.
We're going to be live on location this summer in Gary's backyard.
There we go. Ernest, we have a live show now in Gary's backyard.
Sign me up. We'll be there.
There we go. You might actually get us to do the video camera then, Gary. Man.
But I think this topic, like I know a lot of your listeners, it's really interesting, because who would think, we go to the box stores and we buy the preform or whatever, and you just put the hole in the ground, throw the thing in there, throw some rocks around it, pump, as you say, without filtration, and you think you got it, and there's so much information that people really don't know about this stuff, right?
That's absolutely right.
And Ernest, you should write a book, and that's not a joke. If you haven't, you should really think about that.
To be honest, there are a lot of books out there. It's the industry's old, and it's just gaining notoriety. Like I think I mentioned last time, everybody wants a pond, they just don't know it yet. And they realize they can have it, and you start doing some research, and there's whatever Facebook groups that are specific to it, but
Pinterest too. I would think Pinterest has given people lots of ideas.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's one of the things I tell, my customers who are, the retailers and landscapers, is definitely get yourself out on Pinterest, get yourself out on, there's, anyway,
yeah,
a plethora of social media sites. But just letting folks go there, the people are doing the research and they're mm-hmm. looking for what's available, what they can do.
Yeah. But it helps to talk to you also because you're front. I mean, you know, this is your job, right? It's not that,
right.
that, but you, this is you, you're, it's important for you to know the answers. And no matter what we throw you, you seem to know the answers. So it's great information. So I can see why Gary sees the value in your expertise
in a
book.
That's a true professional,
for sure.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, for sure. Even though they're breaking out the math, that just makes my head go like, ah.
I still got my calculator out trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I know. How many inches of fish? I know. We're like, totally.
I can't believe that.
That's too funny. No, that's cool. I appreciate that. But the expertise that is required. So Matt and, you know, and his team there and a lot of my other retailers, you know, the time that you can take on selling to people isn't always available at some of the other larger box stores and the expertise that's needed. So, you know, as our company, we see the benefit of training folks like Matt so that they can answer those questions when their customers come in, because it's the only way that things really get sold properly. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there's a lot of, you know, puns done, you know, poorly or incorrectly, and that just leads to frustration and not an enjoyment of a beautiful hobby, really. So
mm-hmm.
if it can be done well.
Yeah, and there's a lot of the great programs at Aquascape, and you guys have a great website, and you guys are a wealth of knowledge. So just before we go, I think we're going to take our last commercial break before we head into the last segment of the show. Ty Williams writes in, wow, what a great show. So much information and free. Thank you so much. And thank you again, Ernest. Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path. I'm Matthew Dressing here with Joanne Shaw. We'll be right back, and you are listening to Reality Radio 101.
Are you wondering why your life isn't moving in the direction that you want it to? Do you ever hear yourself saying, it's like I'm running into walls, or my money flows out as quickly as it comes in? Until about 9 years ago, I used to hear myself say those exact words. I could never figure out what was causing these problems or how to fix them. Well, that's until I started to learn about feng shui and how by applying the principles of it to my home or my office, I could in fact help fix those problems and have my life run smoother. Wow. When you book a feng shui consultation with us at Your Spiritual Connection, we will help you to figure out why things aren't working out in your favor, and we will offer simple solutions to help correct the problems, which will in turn help your life to run smoother.
Contact Trish John of Your Spiritual Connection at 905-391-8801 to book your feng shui consultation today. For more information on any of our upcoming events and workshops, please visit our website at www.yourspiritualconnection.ca. Your Spiritual Connection, helping you to make the connections in your life.
When you go outside and look at your driveway, what do you see? Do you notice cracks, stains, oil damage, and dullness? Is your driveway not becoming to your home? Well, if so, you should be coming to Caverly's Driveway Sealing. At Caverly's Driveway Sealing, we use the absolute best sealing technology and materials available. We can repair those unsightly holes, cracks, and oil stains. And we can also rebuild the driveway surface at the garage door. Our rates are extremely reasonable, and our workmanship is A1. We also offer free estimates. So what are you waiting for? Give your driveway the facelift that it needs right now. Call Caverly Driveway Sealing at 905-259-5425. That's 905-259-5425. Call us today and be very proud of your driveway tomorrow.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
right here on Reality Radio 101. And now, back to Joanne and Matthew.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101. Thank you for listening. We are here with Ernest Williams from Aquascape, and he is talking everything about ponds and getting everything ready. You do have a few more minutes if you want to quickly send us in a question. And I believe it was, you're going to have to correct me on this one.
What?
Reality Radio 101.
Oh, no, it's not. It's In Studio 101. Say, no, you get that. In Studio 101 at gmail.com. Now, I have a question.
You have a question.
That's right. So, Ernest, so I have a question. I have a client right now who they have a lovely pond and waterfall, and she can see, she loves that she can see her waterfall from her deck, but her husband no longer wants to maintain the pond. So she's asked if we can make it pondless, and so that she can have the water still, she could still see the waterfall, but that there's no standing water, no water in the pond. Do we lose her?
Totally,
oh, no, there. Oh, okay, totally.
He's
there.
There. Sorry about that.
That's
he's
okay.
There.
Okay. Did you forget to unpause him?
No. I did.
Okay. Talking the last 2 minutes.
I know. Yeah. I'm sorry. So now, because the existing material and equipment works, so, but do they have to kind of switch to a different type of pump?
Again, it would be, you know, the bottom line answer is yes, you can totally make it work. And depending on, sometimes the pump is sized based on the size of the pond. If it's too big, you can always scale back. Now, typically, the only thing different would be, so I mentioned about the skimmer that would be in a pond, which is where the pump sits. In a pondless, we just have a kind of a vault, almost like a wet well, if you will, that sits at the bottom of the basin. So instead of having that open body of water, we're going to have a, we call it our pondless basin.
Okay.
And in it, we fit these product called AquaBlocks or matrix boxes. And they provide sort of void space down below. So you've got lots of water moving in a kind of retention basin that you're using to power your stream and falls. And then it disappears. And on top of that basin, we put gravel or river rock or even just large boulders. It supports the weight of pretty much anything we can put on it. The only thing you'd have to figure is the waterfall and stream, just how much water is in that area.
Okay.
And so, hey, get your calculators out. But basically, it's the length of that stream multiplied by the width of it, and then the depth of it. And typically, there's about a quarter of a foot or 3 inches or so at the most that would be in that stream.
Okay.
So that allows you to figure the volume of it, because then I can figure how many gallons are in the stream. So I multiply that number.
Are we doing more math?
He is that doing what's going more on? Math. I know. I asked the question,
like,
though.
But basically, that tells me how much water's in the stream.
Okay.
Basically, how much water would be in motion. So then the basin, I want to account for all of that twice.
Okay.
Because I want to be able to draw from it as well as have enough in the stream.
For the continuation, yes. Okay.
Yeah. So if it ends up being, you know, I don't know how big your customer's pond is or how big the stream and waterfall is, but if it's 5 feet long, maybe 18 inches, you know, for the stream and falls, 3 inches deep, you're looking maybe about 20, 25 gallons. So I'd want to have a basin that would hold at least 50 gallons.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
and then
it would
I
be
just
bigger than
of,
that, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, just, again, a consultation, just do the math.
Yeah.
We can figure that out. And then we would basically just, because you obviously don't need the whole area that the pond gave you.
Right.
We just need a smaller basin, whether it's, you know, 4 by 6 or depending on whatever size it is, we put that vault in there.
Okay.
And then the aqua blocks in front of it and bury it basically and allow it to function as just a disappearing waterfall and stream, or what we call our pondless waterfall.
Okay. So the existing pump would be fine.
Same pump would probably be fine. I mean, I'll to make a generalization, but
yeah,
if it ends
sure.
up being, you know, much bigger for, you know, if it's a, anyway, Grande Biofalls or something, and it's only a 3-foot stream. and maybe I don't need that much.
Right, but, right. Okay.
Or if they wanted to see more coming up, maybe they had a smaller, just a trickle, and they want more now, more of a larger stream and falls, then you can upsize the pump as
okay.
well. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Good to know. Well, thank you. I now know that I need to have my contractor call you for the math on the on the water. But yeah, so that's good to know that it can be done and that
yeah.
she can still, and you know, it's a kind of a compromise, right, between husband and wife. They, you know,
perfect.
She still kind of
yeah.
gets her waterfall, and he doesn't have to get out there and do it anymore. So
so
that's
no.
great.
Pondless waterfalls are definitely less maintenance. I never say anything is no maintenance.
Right.
Definitely less maintenance than a pond.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. And we wanted to close off. I know the hour flew by once again.
Wow.
And we're looking forward to having you back again already.
All right.
But we also want to highlight, just like you said, the experience, your contractors, the training that you do for both the contractors from the garden centers, how important it is for homeowners to know that there really is value in hiring qualified people.
Absolutely. We get calls, you know, regularly from folks that are looking for pond contractors. And sometimes it's just folks that have, you know, we're going to take the plunge. We're curious about what's out there. But often it's folks that either had somebody else try it. Sometimes just a, you know, well-meaning landscaper or even just a friend of the family who wanted to, you know, give it a try and charge the money for it. And unfortunately, they may not have got what they anticipated or what they wanted. So when you can do research on a company, just find out what, you know, maybe how many years they've been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they'll be upfront because not everybody has been doing it for 10 years. Some
yeah,
are just
yeah.
starting.
Yeah.
But hopefully they're, you know, taking some, we offer some training, some courses as far as that goes. So if they can let you know that they're, they're in the process of you know, devoting some time to establishing themselves as a professional, that goes a long way too. But definitely, yeah, find out their work, call some of their references, look for, you know, I'll say it, our CAC logo, the Certified Aquascape Contractors.
Okay.
These are folks that have taken the time. There's a fair bit that we've put into that program to encourage their own kind of personal growth or professional growth from some training, some, you know, seminars and events where they're networking with others that have been in the industry for a long time. So they're learning tips and tricks on how best to, you know, make, what's our other tagline? Oh, your paradise, our passion. You know,
oh,
kind of
okay.
thing. When they can really take
what
that homeowner's looking for. Because not everybody has the same desire. Maybe they're building it for a loved one or for, you know, a child or,
yeah.
you know, or just a couple that wants to enjoy the sound of water. So really getting into that mindset. So anyway, consultations are a big part.
Yeah.
Allowing that contractor into your home so that they can get a sense of what you're looking for and really see how the two you can, because it's a partnership really
mm-hmm.
when you're hiring a contractor.
Yeah, for sure. All areas of your yard, for sure. Well, thank you, Ernest. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
We learned lots, didn't we, Gary and Matt?
I learned a lot of math.
Yeah, I know.
I hope I didn't overwhelm.
No,
it's a really fun hobby.
Oh, I need an aspirin.
Yeah, no. It's really good. Well, it's nice to know that that is some logic, right? You guys aren't just making it up to sell product.
But who
right?
figures that out? You know, I mean, could you imagine that?
No. Yeah. No, my hat goes off to, I mean, our products team and a lot of folks
yes.
that have been in the industry for, you know, well over 30 years, 40 years, really.
Yeah. So we want to leave everyone with the fact that your pond is a little ecosystem and how important it is, right, Matt?
You got it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, play to that ecosystem and use a system that's already there.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
There's lots of great people and products out there to help you, you know, build that paradise.
Great.
So thank you, Ernest, so much for coming back on the show.
No,
it was fantastic.
No, I look forward to doing it again.
I've got like 3 more ideas for you between
you
before now and Christmas, so I'm sure we'll be talking.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Thank you again, Ernest. We'll talk
soon.
You're very
welcome.
Okay.
A good night.
You too. Stay warm in Ottawa.
I will.
Okay.
Seems nicer tomorrow.
So. Okay, good.
Good.
Well, there you have it, everyone. So that was really informative once again.
That was great.
Yeah. So thank you for everyone for listening and those that wrote in. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And definitely, I mean, even when we're not here, you can still email us, or you've got my contact information. So check out my website at downtoearth.ca. Past episodes are there. I'm almost caught up and loading those up on the on the site. So you can take a look at 2 years worth of shows if you're new to our show. Thank you for listening. And we're looking forward to bringing you more great information as gardening season gets underway.
Yeah.
So thank you for joining us. Thank you, Matthew.
Thanks, Joanne. Have a great week.
Yes, you too. Thank you for joining us on Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101.